The concept of a life cycle is easy for us to understand. We face it every day of our lives. Babies are conceived, born, grow up, turn into adults, and eventually age and die. The same concept can be witnessed in products. Through understanding the product life cycle, it's possible for a company to develop a marketing strategy at each stage. The first stage is pre-birth. At some stage, an idea for a product is conceived. This is a delicate time for the embryo, as a significant number of new ideas fail to make it. They may fail because they do not fulfill the needs of potential customers. It may be that the competition is too fierce, the cost of manufacturing may be too high, or the penetration of the marketplace is too difficult. Pre-birth is not an easy time for a new concept. Clay Christensen, a professor at Harvard Business School, is on record as saying that 95% of new products fail. It's hard to know whether this figure is correct because many new products never get off the ground. Of those that are launched, there appears to be a consensus that 30 to 50% fail, depending on the industry. Whatever the failure rate, these figures indicate the difficulty of new product gaining traction in a market which is already well served. Very few markets have vacuums waiting to be filled, and new product launches require true innovation, good marketing support, and excellent timing if they are to be successful. The next stage is youth. As stated before, the launch period of a new product can be very difficult. The new product needs to acquire a high level of awareness, and this in turn must be supported with an appropriate promotional budget. Distributors and retailers must be persuaded it's worth their while listing the new product. If the new product is to win a significant number of customers, it must appeal to the innovators, who will be happy to trial and experiment. But it must also jump the chasm and become of interest to the early adopters and the early majority. During this youthful early stage, sales could be slow before they pick up. Costs will be high, and it's quite likely that the new product will face losses. The length of time that a product stays in this youthful stage will vary. Toys, electronic products, and digital products can move quickly and gain significant momentum within a few months. Most other products are likely to stay in the youthful stage for quite a few years. The next stage is growth. After a time, the awareness of the product will increase and sales will grow significantly. The early adopters will begin to buy the product in earnest, and the early majority will be showing a strong interest. Other companies will see the strong growth, and competitors will be lured into the market. And this is not necessarily a bad thing, as the extra competition will also help bring the product to a wider audience. With greater volume of sales, costs will be reduced and the product will move into profit. However, the extra competition will put pressure on prices. The product now moves into the next stage, which is maturity. Eventually, the new product becomes mainstream. It will be widely known, widely used within the market, and the late majority will now buy the product, and its penetration will be moving quickly towards saturation. At this point, the many competitors that entered the market during the growth phase will begin to rationalize. There will be acquisitions and mergers which will reduce the number of competitors, although the competitiveness of these now large companies will be especially fierce as they compete for a market which has gone X growth. Prices will be under pressure, but the suppliers to the market will be highly efficient and can be expected to reap good profits. Products in this stage are often cash cows. The suppliers of the products will become more sophisticated, turning to brand differentiation, segmentation, and value marketing. And finally, we move into old age. Eventually, the applications for the product will decline, or new products will come onto the market, which can better serve customers' needs. And as a result, sales volumes decline. Inevitably, there will be still further rationalization of suppliers. Declining sales volumes and continuing price pressures will squeeze profits. This will be a period when suppliers of products must decide whether they remain in the market, possibly improving efficiencies through acquisitions and mergers, or rejuvenate the product with innovations, or exit it completely. Let's think of the model in action. The Kellogg Company, best known for its cornflakes, Rice Krispies and so on, launched a new breakfast bar in 1997. It was called Nutri-Grain, and it was positioned as a healthy snack for people on the move and who may have skipped breakfast. In the youthful phase of the product launch, Nutri-Grain was highly successful. In just a couple of years, it monopolised the cereal bar market with nearly a 50% market share. Supported by strong promotion, it grew quickly until 2002. Some repositioning of the brand took place as it changed from being a missed breakfast product to being an all-day healthy snack. The cereal bar market quickly matured and saw competition from many branded and own brand products, and by 2004, just 7 years after its launch, sales of Nutri-Grain started to decline, even though the market continued to grow at 15% per annum. Kellogg had to decide whether to withdraw from the market or extend its life in some way. The company carried out research which showed that the brand message was not strong enough, and some of Kellogg's other products, such as Minis, had diluted Nutri-Grain's position. The product was in need of more marketing support. The company developed a soft bake bar which appealed to people who wanted great taste and also required their snack to be healthy. It was repositioned as a snack for mid-morning, still branded Nutri-Grain, but with a sub-brand of Elevenses. The relaunch took place in 2005, and the product rejuvenation put the emphasis on health and taste, and it was a success. The relaunch was supported by strong promotion, and the product was relaunched at a competitive price. As a result, the decline in sales were reversed, and the Nutri-Grain sales increased by almost 50%. Two decades later, Nutri-Grain remains a strong brand and a product within Kellogg's product portfolio. So, a couple of things to think about here in terms of product life cycle. Knowing where your product sits in its life cycle is important as it determines your strategy. It's particularly important to know when demand is topping out and moving into decline. This is a stage at which you need to decide whether rejuvenation is possible. And remember that your communication strategy needs to change depending on where your product sits in the life cycle.